Hello and welcome to Grow by Cassandra. Guys, I've cried a few times in the past 8 months, like a few. You know, I like to cry. Like, I don't mind crying at all, but it's only been a few. And just recently today, my tears have really nothing to do with anything that's going on in my personal life. Today, I cried because Ahmaud Arbery was murdered and his name was added to the list. Of black men and black women who have died and whose murderers have not been held accountable for the crimes committed. I cried because I love God, I love myself, and I love my neighbor truly. I do. I work to do that. Like, that takes work, that takes effort. It takes prayer, meditation, reading books, and reflecting, journaling, therapy. I love my neighbor. And my neighbor killed my brother. Intentionally. Premeditated and without remorse. My neighbor has been living freely ever since murdering my brother. My neighbor lives in privilege and my neighbor hates my family. Hopefully you understand I'm speaking metaphorically. And I don't care what you say or how you try to dissect it. When I hear the news of a black man or a black woman losing their lives, suffering, and in pain, mourning innocent bloodshed, I cry. Sometimes it takes moments. Sometimes it takes days, but eventually the tears come, they fall, they're real, and they remind me that we're connected. So today's podcast is not lighthearted. I'm not reaming with joy at this moment. It's not necessarily going to be fun, but it's necessary. I believe that I have a voice. I like to use it. It reaches. And the great thing is that there's joy in my heart for other things. For lots of other reasons. I find myself able to smile and to laugh and to celebrate. But what I feel right now in this moment is stuck. You see, I'm a Christian. I believe in a just and loving God. I believe that God created man. And I just wonder how man, specifically the white man in America, got to be so envious, so evil, so hateful, and so arrogant to think that he can escape the wrath of God. And I guess that's it. That's where I find a little bit of peace and a little bit of comfort in knowing that no one is able to escape that wrath. Romans 12, 17 through 19 says, "Repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. It is possible, as much as depends on you, if it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath, for it is written, 'Vengeance is mine, I will repay,' says the Lord." rather give place to wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Wrath has a place. That's what I took from that scripture. Vengeance is mine. That's what the Lord says. I will repay, says the Lord. So wrath has a place. And wrath is anger. It's rage. I love that wrath can also be described as annoyance, because anger, rage, annoyance are words that definitely articulate my feelings at the moment. Vengeance is mine. Vengeance is, according to the Oxford Dictionary, punishment inflicted or retribution exacted for an injury or wrong. I think of vengeance as being justice. And we know that our earthly, worldly, American system of justice fails time and time again. We need no more proof for that. You can read about it. You probably personally know someone who can testify to that fact. You can watch movies. There's documentaries. Like, justice, in terms of our earthly system, it fails. But I believe that God's system for justice does not fail. I will repay, says the Lord. Payback, reimburse, compensate. And that brings me joy. That brings me some peace to know that it's not on me. When these types of things happen, and they happen really often, I'm often thinking, what can I do? Like, how can I make up for this? What can I do to fill in the gap? And there is somewhat a sigh of relief, and there is some peace in knowing that it's not on me, because I will repay, says the Lord. That means it's on God. I want you to hear me out. So the combination of anger and sadness is paralyzing. I already woke up late this morning, and I'm praying that at some point today I can move through this pain and make today, quote unquote, productive and pleasant. At the same time, I'm nearly obsessed, like obsessed, with finding out what I can do to be a part of the solution. I don't want to just post a picture. Actually, I don't want to post a picture at all. I've seen his face. It's ingrained into my memory. And it goes into a catalog of all the other faces of Black men and Black women who have seen the very similar circumstance. I'm not watching or sharing the video. I don't need to see it. I don't need to share it. In a lot of ways, I think that is, I don't understand. I don't understand the purpose and the intent of watching or sharing that type of violence, that type of evil, that type of hatred. I don't want to come up with some cute statuses and then just stand back and watch nothing happen. I'm really about that action. So today, this morning, I signed a petition, as I've done in the past. I really want to read and learn more about what I can do. I want to be able to do something. Action. Now, Romans doesn't say do nothing, right? And even the scripture that people bring up to turn the other cheek, it's not fitting in this context. I want to just think about, you know, a scripture that does fit this context, like Proverbs 31:8. It says, speak up for those who cannot speak for themselves, for the rights of all who are destitute. And the dead fall into this category. Destitute is without the necessities of life. Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, right? Do black people have this? Do illegal immigrants have this? Do women? Do brown and black children? Do the poor? Do gay, lesbian, and the like? I'm realizing that regardless of my personal beliefs or judgments or what I was raised to think or believe or how I've been conditioned, I cannot leave out a group and only be mad and only be frustrated about the injustice of those who I personally identify with. And that's hard. It's a little tough. It's against, like I said, some of my conditioning, right? We've all to some extent been conditioned to look out for our own, to form groups and to show more empathy and more compassion and more love and even more grace for those who may look like or identify like us. But I believe in love your neighbor as yourself. I believe that. I believe in that wholeheartedly. And like I said, it's work. It's not easy. Proverbs 31:9 says, speak up and judge fairly, defend the rights of the poor and needy. And the needy, that's all encompassing, right? We're all in need. We're in need of something. We're in desperate need of something. Maybe it's food, shelter, provisions. Maybe it's love, acceptance. I believe we're all in need of a savior, of an answer, of a friend, of connection and relationship. And God promises to give us peace that surpasses all understanding. And right now I'm seeking that peace. I'm deeply seeking that peace. I'm pressing into it. I'm desperate for it. I need peace to navigate this world. I need peace to see past the evil and to recognize my part in bringing about good. I need peace first. To offer my comfort and to offer my condolences. I need peace. News like this comes monthly, if not weekly, on a national level. But for many, this is a daily occurrence, and I can't imagine what it does to one's mind. Actually, I can imagine. I'm imagining it. Right now, I have pain in my neck. As I record, I feel like it's leaving. That stress is leaving my body. But I do feel tension. And it's the kind of tension that I feel when I'm stressed, when I feel like things are out of my control, when I have tried to figure it out and I can't necessarily get to the answer. I haven't finished my breakfast. I couldn't. I haven't drunk my water. I haven't moved on to today's agenda items. And clearly you can hear I need to blow my nose. But that's nasty. Whew. The pain is paralyzing. And I see those who are silent. And I wonder if it's ignorance or is it ignorance? Like, are we avoiding the conversations? Are we trying to be polite by discussing easier to swallow conversations? I think about last night how I binged watched YouTube videos, and I think subconsciously I did that to avoid sitting with these feelings that were inevitable. I stayed up all night. I fell asleep around 4 a.m. After 4, and I'm sad. I'm really sad, and it's not about me. It's about us. Though I have a solid rock to stand on, though I'm confident that I can realign my footing, find my footing, I wonder what this narrative does to little boys and little girls. What does the narrative do to white supremacists? This act and many others have been caught on video, have been filmed intentionally. And I wonder what message that is A, meant to send. What's the intention behind it? And B, what message does it actually send to the world who watches and often idolizes America, land of the free? I wonder what message it sends to the white women who are married to black men, to the white men who have created mixed boys and girls who may look and identify as black. What does it communicate to the elderly, both white and black, to the mothers, to people of other races, other ethnicities, other identities, to the baby boomers? What does it communicate to people like my parents, your parents maybe, who have seen injustice, who have seen hatred, who have seen evil, who have seen murder to this extent firsthand since they were born? What trauma has it created in our hearts and in our minds, and how has it desensitized us and paralyzed us? Today I'm being thoughtful, and from that thoughtfulness I hope to have a different level of intentionality. I don't need an awareness that injustice exists. I've read enough books. I've watched enough movies. I've seen enough documentaries. I've experienced it firsthand. It does exist. I know that. What I need is a presence in the solution. So I want to challenge you, as I challenge myself today, to start the conversation, to seek a local organization that supports the fight of injustice for people, for humans. I want you to challenge yourself to become involved, because your voice and your action matters, no matter who you are, how old you are, your culture, your background, or your past. Challenge the status quo. Challenge it by words, by thoughts, by deeds. Be still. That's what I'm doing this morning. Like, I began to cry. I had to sit with that. And then this podcast episode was birthed, because in stillness, I feel like we often find the direction to move. We come up with an action item or action step. Something is revealed that can put us into motion. Acknowledge the pain. Feel it for yourself. You may not know the people affected. You may not identify with them. But you can acknowledge pain and you can feel it. And especially during this time, this national pandemic has really neutralized, and though it affects other groups disproportionately, it's something that we've all experienced. Everyone knows someone who at least knows someone who has been affected through death, through sickness, through illness, through financial hardship. And that same type of empathy and that same type of compassion and that same type of humanity that this time has created can be extended and can be applied to situations like this. And then after you acknowledge it, feel it for yourself. I don't know Ahmad or his family, but he was my brother, and I can empathize with that. He was my husband, my boyfriend, my uncle, my son, my cousin, one of my students. Like, this challenges me to love a little harder. No, not a little. To love harder. To support more deeply. To understand, or at least to seek to understand more intentionally. Black men who are killed for being black matter. Their murderers should be held accountable. And my faith, my sanity, my peace, and my action depends on me believing that they will be. Today, if you need to, nap, rest, eat, create, call a friend, breathe, repeat, act, and at to the best of your ability, do it in peace. Do it in love. Allow the wrath to find its place. Trust that vengeance is mine. And know that I will repay, says the Lord. If you don't do anything else until we meet again, I want you to make sure that you grow.